TG has to say, and then I will move out, but I will come back again. Over to you, CG. But can you come forward? Who's making the presentation? Can you come closer to us? You all look so far. Maybe you can use this or the other row. Do you have any apologies that members know of? I know Pearl Peterson is on an oversight visit with Home Affairs.
And also Honorable Aisha Tedelo, she's also on an oversight conference in Devon.
Honorable Tichello. Pearl Peterson Maduna. But before we start, can we briefly, all of us, introduce ourselves? All of us that are here in this meeting. I am Barbara, and the surname is Thompson. I chair this committee.
I'm Martha, and I'm a member of the committee. The one sitting next to me, thank you.
I'm Pat Libenyandanzi, a member of the committee.
Good afternoon. I'm Denise Robinson, member of the committee too.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. I'm Patty Duncan, member of the committee.
I'm Mavis McLady, member of the committee attending for the first time because this committee clashes with SCOPA. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Gil Khutswani, part-time commissioner of the Commission for Gender Equality.
Good afternoon. I'm Fano Zoresho, the Commissioner and Acting Chairperson for the Commission for Gender Equality. It's very interesting that the member says when this clash is a SCOPA takes prominence. Very interesting. Gender equality issue.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Victor Mavidore. I'm at the Acting HOD Legal Department Commission for Gender Equality.
Good afternoon, members. I'm Christopher Mahova, Legal Officer, Gauteng Province.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mashud Nefera. I'm a researcher based in the Western Cape office.
There we go. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Keegan Lekay, legal officer for the Western Cape Commission for Gender Equality.
Good afternoon. I'm Eunice Porter, the legal officer in the Commission for Gender Equality, Gauteng.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members of the Committee. I'm Advocate K. Anirudra, the Parliamentary Office. I'm sorry, the Parliamentary Officer. It's a pleasure to be before this committee this afternoon.
Hi, good day, everybody. My name is Grace. I'm from the PNG. Thanks.
Over to you, CG.
Thanks, Chair, and I would like to thank the committee for affording us the opportunity to present the two reports. Commissioner Kutsan will be leading on the presentation as an expert on these issues, but I just want to make introductory remarks, Chair, which is going to take only 2 minutes. Why we are here, and CGE is established, as all of us are aware, that in terms of Act 108, which is the Constitution of 1996, and Section 187 of that Act, which is the Constitution, mandates the Commission for Gender Equality to promote respect for gender equality in the Republic. And the CGE Act as well gives us a number of powers necessary to perform our function as a Commission. who are here today in compliance with Section 11 of the CGE Act, which is Act Number 39 of 1996, which states that CGE should monitor the compliance with international instruments, conversion, covenants, and international charters acceded to or ratified by the Republic of South Africa relating to the objectives of the Commission for Gender Equality. And CGE, that act as well, goes on and say CGE shall prepare and submit reports to Parliament pertaining to any such conventions, covenants, and charters relating to the object of the Commission. And we're here submitting two reports, which is a report to CEDAW Committee on the South African implementation of CEDAW, and the second report to the South African compliance with the Beijing Declaration and Platform for Action. So, Chair, as we have actually explained in attendance of staff members here, we have worked on these two reports. We did not outsource or contract anybody outside of the CGE to perform. This was a homegrown two reports, and that's the route that we're actually following now in the Gender Commission. So I'll actually ask, and Chair, you ask us to actually update you on other issues, like update on all vacancies, finalization of legal matters, report on findings. CGE is preparing a report on that, which is going to be forwarded to the committee before the end of the week. So we have circulated it yesterday, and those issues will be emailed to the committee before the end of the week. I actually put my head on the block for that. And I'll actually allow Commissioner Kutswane to actually lead us on the discussion. But Chair, let me ask your indulgence on this, that let's present the two reports, and then after that, maybe have discussions, because there's a lot of information contained in these two reports, so that at least when we discuss them, we've actually covered almost all what we wanted to cover as Commission for Gender Equality. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks for explaining why you are here. And members, is that the route that you would want us to take, to have both reports tabled, and thereafter we interact? Is it fine with you? Okay. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to take you through a report that we have compiled. And the way we have done this is I hope you're aware of the fact that South Africa has compiled a CEDAW report, which has been sent to the UN.
How about that? Do all members have the reports in front of them? They look quite thick. I'm sure you have condensed them.
Okay. The South Africa has compiled a report on CEDAW, and this report has been submitted to the UN. And in January of next year, the South African government is going to be presenting that report officially in front of the CEDAW committee. So, as a CGE, we've also compiled our own report. We first looked at the government report and looked at some of the shortcomings of that report. And we are regarded by the UN CEDAW Committee as what they call the National Human Rights Institution, because we have been established in terms of our constitution here. As a national human rights institution, we have a duty to also supply additional information to the committee on whatever we feel that the report has not covered. So this report is about that. We are also having a bigger project where we are looking at how South Africa is actually implementing CEDAW in South Africa. We've started the process. By January next year, we should be complete with that information. We refer to it as a baseline report, because it's for the first time that the CGE is coming up with that kind of a report. So from now onwards, we'll be basing whatever developments that we'll be working on the baseline that we shall have completed by January next year. Now, this report, like I said, we have written this report, and the main objective of the report is to provide additional information to the CEDAW committee. We have sent the report already to the UN, and we feel we have to share it with the portfolio committee here. because you're going to be discussing it at that level as well. The information that is in here is additional in the sense that we have looked at what the government report is saying and some of the things that are missing in that report. And we've also, to some extent, critiqued the government report. I've also put a slide on some of the specific objectives. I think members can go through those as they go through the report at their own time. And the background to this report, like I said, the government report is there. South Africa actually signed CEDAW in January 1993, but as a country, we ratified it in December of 1995. In addition to that, South Africa has also ratified what you call the optional protocol to CEDAW, and this was done on the 18th of October 2005. The first report of this country was presented before the UN in 1998, and the second report of the country has now been sent to the committee. They sent the report in 2009, but it will be presented in front of the committee in January 2011 in Geneva. Now, I've made copies of some of the guidelines so that members can go through those at their own time when they want to understand exactly how these reports should be written. So we have copies of the guidelines which are going to distribute for your own information. But in terms of those guidelines, the state parties are supposed to send the first report to the committee exactly 1 year after they have ratified that convention. So South Africa submitted their first report in 1998. Already it was something like 2-3 years after they had signed it. And after sending your first report, you're expected as a country to send your subsequent reports every 4 years. Our country sent their first report in 1998, and ever since 1998, they haven't sent any report up till 2008. So when you look at the South African report, it's actually a combination of a number of reports. They have combined the second and the third report into one report. The other important thing to take from the guidelines is that when you send your subsequent reports, you don't necessarily have to repeat information that you have submitted before, but you have to concentrate and focus on the period between the dates. If you have reported in 1998 and you're reporting again 4 years down the line, you only concentrate on what happened in between your reporting period, not necessarily have to repeat what you had sent earlier on. Another important thing to note from the guidelines is that when you look at the report, when the committee looks at the report actually, there are two important things that they look for. Firstly, you have to look at what we call the concluding comments. Now, the way the system works is once a country has prepared a report and sent it to the UN and they have presented it to the committee, then the committee at the end of the process is going to come up with concluding comments, some concerns and some recommendations that are sent to the country. And they expect that country to consider those comments and recommendations and implement those so that when they send their next report, the first thing that they would like to see is how a country has dealt with those recommendations and comments. Now, I'm mentioning these things because at some point I'll be talking about some of these, because our country report did not comply with some of the basic things that we're supposed to do. So the fact that we were given the concluding comments in 1998, state parties are supposed to make sure that they circulate those concluding comments, and they act on those concluding comments of the committee. So our country report lacks that, and that's why as a CGD, we looked at that report, and if you look at our report, we've tried to look at those concluding comments that came from the committee in 1998, and we tried the best we could to address those concluding comments. So half of our report, therefore, will be about the concluding comments and recommendations that came from the CEDAW committee in 1998. We've tried to address them. Even the way we have numbered our report, we have numbered the report according to the numbers that appear in the concluding comments of the CEDAW committee that was in 1998. I have made copies of those comments for the committee members to look at the comments that came from the committee itself.
Just a minute. Sorry for interrupting. Are you then suggesting that after this report, you are saying the committee must come up with concluding comments. No, you're not saying that.
No.
Just repeat yourself.
Okay. When a country presents to the CEDAW committee, the CEDAW committee, the UN committee, will look at its report, the country's report, and analyze it, and they will pose questions to the delegation that comes from that country, like in our case, of the African delegation. Now, once the presentation has been done, the questions coming from the committee have been answered. Now, at the end of that process, then the committee comes up with a list of, if they've picked up some concerns from your report, they will write those concerns in the form of a list. They will give you a list of their concerns. And then after listing those concerns, they'll also come up with some recommendations. So the CEDAW committee, the UN CEDAW committee, has that list, which I said I'm going to circulate so that you can have an idea of what I'm talking about here. The list was made available in 1998. And my problem here is that our foreign affairs never, and the OSW never distributed those concerns and recommendations. So as a result of that, when the current report was written, they did not, according to the guidelines of reporting, address those concerns. Yes. Yeah. So the CG has tried to look at those concerns that were raised by the committee and the recommendations. And we have looked at how, even though they have not been picked up directly by the government report, but we are aware that some things have been done within the government in trying to address some of those issues. So we have picked up those issues and looked at how some of them have been addressed. And in our report, we are looking at it in different ways. We are looking at the positives, some of the good things that government has done, we have listed them, and some of the negatives in terms of what was supposed to have been done and which has not been done. So half of our report is based on that. So we are looking, and like I said, the role of this kind of information to the committee is to add information, to provide additional information to the, to the CEDAW committee, so that when they have the government delegation in front of them, they are able not only to look at the report only, but also if there's any additional information, they should also consider that. So we are writing this information for the committee, providing them with some additional information which is lacking in the government report. So that's what we are looking at. So when you look at part one of our report, it talks about those kind of issues. We're addressing the concerns that were raised by the CEDAW committee. The other thing that you also have to bear in mind in terms of this report is that if you look at our government report, it's a huge report. And according to the guidelines of reporting for CEDAW, which the committee is very strict about that, is to try to keep to the limits of the size of the report. Now, the guidelines say any subsequent report has to be 70 pages. If it's the first time that the country is reporting, they allow you to can write something like 100 pages. But according to the guidelines, any other report that follows thereafter, it has to be 70 pages. And you look at our government report, it's about 172 pages. Which means already when the government presents that, but when they go there in January, they're going to be asked why it is so big, when they know exactly that it's supposed to be 70 pages. So those are some of the problems that we have picked up. And you look at the size of the report itself, most of the things that have been said in the previous report have been repeated. That's why you have most of the information that's just been put in the report. So it's not like the kind of information that is going to assist the committee to see how far women's rights in South Africa have been improved or whatever status of women is like, in, you know, according to this. So, those are some of the basics that we have to always consider when you look at this report. So when you look at our report, at the beginning we come up with some kind of a summary. We've looked at the government report and picked up some of the problematic areas and listed those kind of problems. For instance, the story about the size of the report. Our report is just too big, and it's not big because it has too much information. It's big because it has just repeated some of the things that have been reported initially. Another important thing that what I've mentioned is that the issue around having to, you know, the committee expects you when you start to actually deal with the concluding comments that they gave you previously. So in this report, that has not been done. So our country report doesn't really show what government has done with the concluding comments of the 1998 report. The other thing that you also found, you know, when you read CEDAW, CEDAW is made up of something like 30 articles. The first 16 articles are what you call, we call them substantive articles because they give you the substance of what has to be done. But the remainder, then it's about the implementation of the convention. But at the end of it, every time the committee meets, they come up with some of the emerging issues that might not have been serious issues when the convention was adopted in 1979. For instance, the convention doesn't cover gender-based violence in it, but they have decided to come up with what you call general recommendations. Like I said, you have your substantive articles, but when you read those articles, you also have to make sure that you read what you call the general recommendations, because these recommendations act like some kind of amendment. They improve on the quality of the first 16 articles. So that if in 1979 some of the issues were not there, like HIV and AIDS, it has now been covered under what you call general recommendations. Now, when you write a report, the CEDAW report, you don't just look at the 16 articles and write about what is there. You also have to look at those general recommendations. So if you report only on the 16 articles, then your job is not complete. So our government report has not done that. They looked at the 16 articles, and they didn't refer to the general recommendations, which are very, very critical because they actually improve on the quality of the original document.
Can I just stop you, Ma?
Yeah.
Who is actually responsible for the government report, for the compiling of the government report?
The government report was compiled by the then OSW, Office on the Status of Women. They are the ones, because it was compiled in 2008, and then it was sent to the UN in 2009. So for us, really, the CG is, you know, our problem, still a problem is that there seems to be lack of understanding of how this convention should be addressed. The other thing that is mentioned in the guidelines is that when you report as a country, you don't just report about the 12 or the 16 articles. You also have to put information with regard to some of the other decisions that are taken at some of the UN conferences, like Beijing, for instance. So we are writing reports every time on Beijing, on whatever, but we don't mention that in our report. So our country report as it is now, it does not reflect anything that has to do with Beijing and some other decisions. I'm going to try to be faster. The other thing that we also picked up was that when the report was written, the consultation process in compiling this report was not adequate. So civil society organizations were not consulted when the report was written. So it left that information that should be coming from the NGOs and other stakeholders. So lack of consultation is also another problem that we have in this report. So that is a summary of some of the findings that not just all of them, but just some of them that I've just highlighted. Now, coming to the second part of it, which is about some of the concluding comments that were coming from the committee. Can you circulate the comments? So that people should have an idea of what the committee said and what we're supposed to be saying. But very quickly,
you know, just to interrupt you again, it's a pity because it would seem as though there are a lot of flaws from the government's report.
There are.
But we are not going to, who are we going to hold accountable? Those people are no longer there now. That is the problem.
The thing is, next year somebody is going there. In January, government is going to appear before the committee. So somebody is going to go and represent government in January. So whoever is going to go there will have to respond to all these things. So we're raising your awareness as well in terms of all this, because this is very critical. They're going to be asked these things that I'm talking about now.
Okay, it's quite embarrassing.
But I will also come up with some way of dealing with that at the end, because we're trying to see how best we can improve on what we have here. So we'll just mention that at the end of this. I'll just pick on...
Pause again. I see we have been joined by two officials. Could you quickly introduce yourself? I'm sure this process will assist us. You'll have your ears wide open also, so you could pass on the message.
Tozam Dala from the National Youth Development Agency.
Papa Njobane, National Youth Development Agency.
One of the comments that was raised by the CEDAW Committee in 1998, fortunately I was there as well, yeah, I attended that process. One of the serious problems that they had was that it looks like our constitution is confusing at some point because it recognizes culture, and at the same time we're talking about issues of women's rights. So the combination of some of the customs which don't really are not in favor of women's rights. So as a result of that, you know, the committee was concerned that, that there seems to be a problem with that. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to check with us as to how this is being addressed on the ground. So as a CGE, we've tried to address that because, you know, when you look at our own constitution, even though an outsider might think there is some confusion, but if you look at the constitution, especially Section 39(3), says the Bill of Rights does not deny the existence of any other right or freedoms recognized in law or conferred by customary law as long as they are consistent with the Bill of Rights. So you just need somebody to go and explain that to the committee so that they understand that there is no confusion. So there is recognition of customs and traditions, but at the same time they have to be in line with the Bill of Rights. So they wanted that kind of an explanation, which our report is not really... I mean, the government report is not addressing. So we're trying to address things like those in the report to show that at least there is no confusion here. And there's a problem. They specifically asked questions on polygamy, and we know they're going to ask those questions again. And they would want to get some answers on those kind of questions. They asked this in 1998. They're still going to ask this kind of questions. So we should look at how best we can deal with this and sort of try to clarify how on the ground this works. So in our report, we have tried to deal with this. We're looking at some of the laws that we have. We're looking at some of the court cases that are there clarifying some of these issues, how our courts are dealing with the matter as well. Issues around inheritance rights and land rights, they were concerned about those kind of issues. And they actually were trying to check whether in South Africa there is a family code which is in conformity with the convention, in terms of which equal inheritance rights, land rights, and polygamy are addressed with the aim of abolishing them. So we've also looked at that, and where possible, where we had responses, we've tried to put responses to this, as you will read in our report. There was also a specific question about insufficient financial and human resources, and they specifically picked on the CGE to find out how much money is the CGE being given to enable it to do its work, and there was a concern that the money that was provided was very little. So all the structures that are dealing with issues of gender equality in the country, the committee members raised a concern that government doesn't seem to be taking those issues very seriously because they're not allocating sufficient resources to enable those structures to deal with their mandate. So they specifically talked about the CGE, and in our report, we tried to give the picture of what is happening, even the figures as to how much we're getting and all those kind of things. They raised the question on the high level of violence against women in South Africa, and we needed to respond to that as well, which we tried to. We looked at some of the negative aspects which are still there, and we looked at some of the positives. The fact that at least we have policies such as the victim empowerment charter and all those kind of other things, the establishment of the sexual offenses within the NPA, the fact that we do have some Tudela centers, which are to some extent is very helpful. So we've tried to raise those as well. They raised an issue around the political field and appointment of decision making posts. And we've tried to give an outline of what is happening. You know, if you deal with this kind of an issue, I think committee members are aware of the report that was published by the Public Service Commission on gender mainstreaming in the public sector. Because that report is very, very critical. It gives us an idea of what is happening, you know, in terms of the public service. But apart from the public service, you know, there are some good things happening from our, you know, political institutions as well. So we've tried to highlight some of those. They raise an issue again around the representation of women in the judiciary. So they wanted to find out what South Africa is doing in terms of improving and getting more women becoming judges. So we looked at that issue as well, and we came up with some, we managed to pick up a graph that was coming from the Department of Justice, explaining where we are now. There was another important issue that was raised with regard to high level of unemployment of women and their protection from exploitation. And it specifically talked about domestic workers. And I think something has been done in South Africa because if you look at the Labor Department, they have come up with some sectoral determination that specifically talks issues of domestic workers. So we're trying to highlight some of those to say some positive things are also happening in terms of improving. We have not done much yet, but there are some things that are really assisting to improve on the lives of domestic workers and others. There are issues raised around, we have also mentioned some of the important laws that are there to protect the rights of women workers specifically. They raised an issue around the uneven distribution of health care services and research into female genital mutilation. South Africa's problem at the moment is that in terms of some of these cultural practices, we don't have a definition of female circumcision, for instance. And the committee wanted to find out exactly what is happening in South Africa in terms of that. Now, because we have no definition of that, we cannot outrightly say there is genital mutilation here, because different cultures have been practiced, and every culture do their own thing. So it would have been nice if government could have come up with some kind of a research just to find out exactly what was happening in terms of use of gender of mutilation here. And definitely the committee is going to again ask about this question, and I don't think we have an answer as a country as to what we did since 1998 around this particular issue. We also looked at the report that was compiled by the South African Human Rights Commission when they conducted a study on public inquiry report on access to health care. And that report raises quite a number of issues. So we've looked at those issues and also discussed those. And apart from looking at those comments and recommendations, when you report to the committee, you have to look at every article of the convention and try to check whether your country is doing something about each and every article of that convention. So the second part of our report looks at the different articles of CEDAW as to what Article 1, for instance, talks about the definition of discrimination against women. So the committee expects countries to have in their constitutions a section where they define discrimination against women. Now, in our constitution, we don't have that kind of a provision. We have a provision for gender equality, yes, equality between the sexes, but there is nothing that specifically tells you what discrimination against women is, like the CEDAW Convention says. Now, in CEDAW, there's a very nice definition of what this is, and they are trying to encourage countries to try to adopt that definition. Now, in our country, our PEPUDA is trying to talk about discrimination, but it's a very general definition. It's not in line with what CEDAW says. So they would want to get countries to sort of adopt that very clear definition of what you mean by gender, discrimination against women. So in terms of Article 2, Article 2 of CEDAW talks about countries having to come up with laws and policies that will deal with issues of discrimination against women. So you want to find out what is it that you're doing. And there has been a very interesting report that has been compiled by the UN this year, very recent. It's called the Gender Mapping Report for South Africa, Current Status and Gaps. So that report is very, very critical because it tells us where we are now in terms of issues of gender equality. So there are some policies that are there, but as to whether those policies are being implemented properly or not, that's another problem. So Article 2 is about those. You look at what kind of laws that you have, you look at the kind of policies that are there, and you explain how these are benefiting women. And then Article 3 talks about institutions like the CGE, the establishment of institutions that will monitor the implementation of the laws that you talked about in Article 2. So some of the problems that are there if you look at the report that I talked about, the one that you got, that was compiled by the Public Service Commission on Gender Mainstreaming, you'll really see that there's still a lot that South Africa has to do in terms of issues of gender mainstreaming. So we are referring to that report because it really has a lot of information on that. And if you look at Article 5 of this convention, it talks about issues of culture, the fact that we, the governments will have to come up with some ways of dealing with, you know, the issues around traditions and cultures. So when you look at that, we have started a case, which for us is very, very progressive. If you remember that case, the Bear case, our court came up with in terms of issues of inheritance, where girls now, in terms of that case now, are supposed to inherit, and not only the boys. We also came up with, we're citing the Shilubani case, the Limpopo province case of that woman who wanted to become a chief and was denied because she's a woman. So even though we don't have the definition in our constitution, the manner in which our constitutional court interprets equality to some extent helps, because then they are able to can provide some guidance as to how we should deal with issues of equality in South Africa. Then we've also looked at issues, Article 6, which talks about exploitation of women, around trafficking, sex workers, and all those kind of things. The fact that now, at least there is a bill that is coming on, that is there on this particular issue. We've mentioned those kind of things and all those kind of things. Article 7 talks about political and public life. We've written some information about, what is happening in the political life, the fact that you do have political parties, and also even have political parties that are run by women, the fact that you have high number of women also participating in elections and all those kind of things. We've mentioned that. And we've also mentioned some of the shortcomings of what we have. For instance, in South Africa, we don't have law that says there must be 50% representation. So we are depending on the goodwill of the parties to get that done. So there's no specific law that says there must be 50%, for instance. So we're highlighting all those kind of things. We're looking at issues of education as well. Some of the articles we didn't write anything about. For instance, Article 8 and 9, we didn't comment on them because we felt there was nothing new we're going to share with the committee. Remember, we said we are providing additional information to the committee. So where we felt we really had nothing new to add, we didn't do that. So we looked at issues of education as well. We looked at issues of the marriages, for instance. The fact that you have a Recognition of Customary Marriages Act, the committee is going to really go to town in terms of asking questions on this as to how, because they have a general recommendation that specifically refers to this. So we need to get our government to prepare themselves for these kind of issues here. We've also written something about the gender-based violence. I think people can read what you've written there about them and all those kind of things. So because of time, I'm going to stop there. So that is our first report. Now, we said that we are aware that our government report is not really good enough. So as the CGE, we have decided to organize what you call a mock trial. So the way the UN deals with some of these things is they allow countries to organize themselves. For instance, in this particular instance, we are talking to UNIFEM, which has been given the mandate by the CEDAW committee to assist governments. But in most cases, they do it to the first-time reporters, you know. But in our case, the last time we reported was in 1998, and the people who are in government now were not there. We are in that ministry, were not there. So we're trying to come up with that mock trial where, together with UNIFEM, we would like to provide assistance to our government. We would like to take them through the process of reporting and say, this is how it is. So it's definitely different from your CSW. CSW, the minister goes there, then they just present a statement, and that's it. Now, with the CEDAW committee, they're going to have, in January, there are going to be 8 countries reporting. The process is there for 2 weeks.
and they are going to sit down. There are 23 committee members in the Libet committee, and each committee member is going to be asking questions. So it's not just a matter of going to present and come back. They are going to be grilled. They are going to have to answer a number of questions. So we are feeling as a CGE that maybe the kind of assistance that you can provide is to organize this mock trial where we say to GAF, to the ministry, can you organize yourself? Let's take you through this process. Let's see how best you can improve on your presentation when you get there in January. Now, UNICEF is prepared to assist us on this. What that takes is we would want to get this committee to assist us to get government to prepare itself for the presentation. We are prepared to go out and get all the experts who are participating in these processes, which means involving some of the current committee members who are there. At CGE, we're talking to the committee members, we're getting some positive response. So we're saying in October of this year, let's have a mock trial. Let's get our ministry on board. Let them come and sort of present like they would present in January. And then let's see how best we can help them and go through these kind of processes and try to get them to answer some of the questions that we foresee they're going to be asked. Already as a CGE, because the CEDAW Committee regards us as a national human rights institution, we have an appointment with them. We're going to the UN, we've been given the date of the 2nd of August. We're presenting this report to the CEDAW Committee. And we are prepared to sit down with the committee and help them formulate questions, which is what usually happens. So we're going to help them to write questions for our own government. That's why we feel we want to take our government through that process so that they are able to answer those kind of questions. It's nice to just write their questions, but responding to the questions might be problematic. So we would like to take our government through that process. We also would like to get this portfolio committee to assist government, because when it comes to the delegation that goes to the committee, they have to get professionals on board as well. What usually happens at that level is your minister is going to be there. There must be professionals like doctors who deal with health issues on the ground, who will be able to respond to the health issues. Because within the CEDAW committee, you have doctors, you have lawyers, you have professionals. So it's easier if you take your own group of professionals along, so that when they ask these difficult questions, you have the relevant people. And in addition to getting your own staff members in office, you also have to identify. There must be a judge for them who goes along with the delegation. So it is important for us to see how best the ministry can put together a delegation that is going to represent us well. And we are prepared to assist to take them through the process. Like I said, we're already engaging with some of the committee members. We're planning to have a mock trial in October. So we'd like this committee to also be part and parcel of that process so that together we help our government delegation to prepare themselves so that when they get to this meeting in January, they are well prepared. Thank you. I'll stop there in terms of CEDAW. I have another report to discuss. Can I just go ahead and get to that one very quickly?
Yes, please do.
We've also looked at the Beijing. This year was the 15th anniversary of the Beijing process, and we had our Beijing Plus 15. So as the CGE as well, we're working on a baseline information kind of research, but we first had to deal with part one of this. If you remember how the CSW preparations were done, governments were sent questionnaires to respond to. Every government was given a questionnaire to respond to. And the problem that we have here is people are giving the impression that when you go to the CSW for this kind of meetings, that's where our government report goes. But the truth of the matter is the UN works differently. The different regions of the UN
have their own reporting processes. In actual fact, our South African deport was supposed to have been sent to the ECA, the Economic Commission for Africa, which is based in Addis Ababa. We were supposed to have sent our country report to the ECA last year, March, and we have not done that. And the people were given the reason that the report will be submitted in New York in 2010, which is not how the UN works. So there is that problem that when it comes to reporting on these instruments, our government just does it, you know, in a different way altogether. And I think this committee will have to really try to make sure that we do things properly. So what we did as well was to take that questionnaire that was sent to government and look at some of the questions that were asked and in our own way try to give some responses to some of those questions. Now, one of the areas that were covered in that questionnaire is about the major constraints that prevent the national gender machinery from being effective. So we look at our own structures here, the fact that we have the CGE here, we used to have the OSW, we used to have the JMC, and that there used to be this problem that people were saying there's a conflict of, there's some confusion with respect to overlapping mandates, which in actual fact is not the case. So each one of these committees has its own mandate, and that's how we interpret those mandates that confuses us. But the three of them, there has never been any confusion about those three, I mean, mandates of each one of those. So we try to look at that and try to explain that as well. And there was a question about some of the constraints and challenges. We have tried to look at some of those constraints. For example, the fact that the OSW, when they were there, they never really exercised the necessary authority during their time. And one of the reasons why is because they were operating under the national policy framework, which in itself was just a framework and not a piece of law. So the reason, some of the reasons that I give in there were based on the fact that there was no simple, straightforward kind of legislation that they were using when they implemented their mandate. Lack of coordination between the national and the provincial offices of the OSW is also part of it. Poor coordination of the national gender machinery. The fact that every time there's an NGM meeting, stakeholders would send different people. So there was lack of coordination in that sense. Insufficient consultation and lack of proper coordination and communication within gender machinery itself. And many other constraints that you've mentioned there. So I think we can go through those and then look at exactly what it is. The other issue that was raised in that questionnaire was commitment to continental gender equality protocols. Now, in our continent, we have quite a number of these important protocols. One of them is called the AU Solemn Declaration on Gender Equality in Africa. Our country has signed that declaration, and our country has sent, they've already sent something like three reports. But if you look at the quality of those reports, it's not really, there's something that you cannot really hope be happy with. There's also, now of late, we also have what you call the Protocol to the African Charter on Human People's Rights on the Rights of Women in Africa. We are going to come back to this committee because we need your assistance. South Africa has signed that and ratified that protocol with reservations. And we feel very strongly that it was not necessary for us to have reservations. Simply because when you look at that protocol, there's an article, Article 31 of the protocol, which says, if your country has better laws, then you apply your laws and not the protocol. And one of the reservations that we have as a country is that one that talks about death sentence, where there's an article talking about issues around death sentence, and we, South Africa said they reserve it because in terms of our law, we don't recognize death sentence. But the same protocol says, if you have a better law, like in our case, a better constitution, apply your law and forget about the provision of this. So we feel very strongly that we're not supposed to have really reserved. So we're going to engage with this committee to try to look at those kind of issues and see how best we can start a process of getting our government to remove those reservations.
The protocol again, the African Commission has just released the guidelines for reporting. So it would be very interesting to see how, when our government is going to send their first report on that. So we're going to really get, engage with government about that and try to see how best we can assist them in terms of reporting of the protocol as well. But we, as a country, we have a very bad record of reporting on time and doing the report according to the guidelines that are given. In the questionnaire, they also talked about some of the emerging issues, issues around gender budgeting. You know, in South Africa, there was a time when it was fashionable to talk about gender budgeting, and our government, some of the government departments did some workshops on that, but at the end of the day, that just ended there. We never really took it very seriously. So it's about time that we went back to government and checked whether we cannot really have a fully-fledged gender budgeting program within government, so that at least we can do something around that. Issues around statistics on gender-based violence, we also raised those kind of issues and discussed them. And we also looked at some of the lessons that we learned in implementing and monitoring the national gender policy. So we've listed all those down. Simple things like when you look at, you know, the national policy framework, it says that people who are supposed to be in positions of gender focal point, they have to be at a particular level. But in practice, that has not happened. Basic things like gender is taken as an add-on. People who are dealing with it are not doing it properly. So all those, so I've listed some of those concerns here, and you'll get them done. The second part of the report talks about, you know, the 12 areas of concern that you find in the Beijing Platform for Action. So we've looked at each one of those areas. We've looked at some of the achievements that we've come up as a country on issues of poverty, for instance. The 12 areas will include poverty, education, health. It's a long list. There are 12 all in all. So we've looked at each one of those 12 areas. We looked at some of the achievements that we managed to get into the country. And we also looked at some of the challenges that are still there. So we looked at each one of them, you know, at each area, challenges and achievements. For instance, one of the challenges in terms of issues of poverty, insufficient accountability or donor funds used by NGOs, for instance. So that still remains a problem. I've skipped a number of because I think you can read those. The application of gender-responsive budgeting to programs is also a challenge. There are difficulties with access to finance for land programs, for instance. So we've listed some of the challenges. Failure by government to come up with an exit strategy for the recipients of grants perpetuates the dependency. It's good for government to provide grants, but it's not good enough to sustain, you know, these people who are recipients of these grants. So government should come up with some kind of an exit strategy. They assist you with grants for this amount of time, and then by this time you should have done something about yourself so that you don't become a dependent on grants, especially for the young women. So we've raised it as one of the challenges that we have. We have looked at issues around education and training, some of the achievements that you have, the fact that in 2007 the government adopted a no-fee schools policy. This is in alignment with the right to basic education and some other issues as well. The introduction of the Naledi schools encourages more girls to take science and math. The government has what they call the GEM and the BAM programs, GEM, Girls and Boys Education Movements. So it also is an achievement in terms of education and many others. And we also have picked up some of the challenges. The fact that South Africa has not yet achieved gender parity in literacy amongst adults. At school level, there is some kind of equality now. But in terms of adult education, you still have a lot of women still being illiterate. And many other challenges that you've picked up as well. Gender-based violence is still rife in South African schools. Coming to the third area of concern about health, some of the achievements that are there. Only yesterday, we were talking about this research that has been hailed by the HIV activist and the minister. So there is some kind of an achievement for us as well, if that would work. There are laws and policies in place to address the vulnerability of women and girls. And you also came up with a list of challenges in terms of health issues. And I think members of this committee can go through that list. Issues around violence against women, some of the achievements, the promulgation of the Domestic Violence Act, that in itself was an achievement, even though we do acknowledge the fact that there are problems in implementing that act. So that is, it can be an achievement on the one side, but it also has its own challenges. The promulgation of the Criminal Law Amendment, the Social Offences and Related Matters Act, which is also a plus, but also there are some challenges. Inadequate implementation of supporting legislation by officials, mainly by police and courts. The issues around the Judiciary Centres. Why is it a good initiative? The number of these centres per province is insufficient, taking into account and considering the vastness of the provinces and all those kind of challenges. So we've listed quite a number of challenges also in terms of issues around conflict, the fact that you now have some law that deals with issues around refugees and all those kind of things, and some of the challenges, the fact that just very recently in 2008 there were some xenophobic attacks and all those kind of things. We've mentioned that as well. And many other areas. I'm going to jump some. We also have written something around issues around the environment. South Africa launched national climate change response strategies. The Department of Provincial Local Government is responsible for popularizing the strategy. We've also ratified the Kyoto Protocol. Some of the challenges, though, include the fact that the last national climate change policy is the 2004 one and needs to be updated. The country is not utilizing the national strategy sufficiently for women. The big issue is renewable energy funding. It is not user-friendly, particularly not for the poorest of the poor. Those kind of challenges. We've listed some other challenges as well. We've also looked at the last area of concern, which is about the girl child. Some of the good things that we are doing in South Africa, the programs like the CELC, Take a Girl Child to Work, it encourages girls. The legal age for marriage, which is 18, to some extent it helps some of the, the girls as well. Some of the challenges, the child abduction story, the Okutwala story, because the CGE, we feel that's criminal. I don't think it's right to approach it as just a cultural issue. That it has a criminal element in it. And people have to be arrested and prosecuted and charged and whatever. So we feel those are some of the challenges that we have. So very quickly, that's the information on this report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think this is more than enough on our plate to get engaged with, and I am not going to really waste a lot of time without wasting a lot of time. Let me just give this over to members, because I think there's a lot to engage with. Members? Member Malchas, Member Masladi, and then Member Taki.
Chairperson, just bear with me for some time. I won't be too long. I just want to ask, my very first question is, are we as a country, because normally they say, I think I heard yesterday when we had the workshop as observer mission, observer status when it comes to elections. We had the Secretary General of SADC here. And then he said that civil society, when it came to protocols or ratification of them, they were very good in doing it, but not government. Now I want to ask a question. Should a country, because, we're not sure, it's the first time, and we commend you for bringing this to us. Because the first time we're looking at something like this. Shouldn't our country have one report? And then with this report, because okay, there's many challenges in it. I'm looking at this one here, not the last one yet. Why was this report sent already through to the UN without, you know, consultation with the department when it comes to our shortcomings? And I like the way you're going to deal with the recommendations, but are there other recommendations? And I must say it's difficult to write such a report when it comes, you know, from a department, not a department, like from the CGE, because you said it was something internal, so we congratulate you on that. Then when it comes to female mutilation, I think you have to look at the Children's Act, because within the Children's Act, it prohibits female mutilation. And it's defined there in the Act. So I think when it comes to reporting, you should look at that. And then there was something else too. There's many things that are down here. You spoke to traditions and culture, and you gave us a section. I can't remember the section you gave. But I think what is important there too, when it comes to the Bill of Rights, I think in Section 38, we have limitation of rights. And I think very seldom people don't want to use it, even the police. Then when it comes to, you spoke about the abuse, violence, etc. When it comes to the police, I don't see the police one day. They have the Family, Child, and Sexual Offences Unit. And they did say, look at that unit wasn't there, that by the 1st of June, it will be in operation. So I think that will be important there too. And just with the grants, I think that has to be, I'm not going to speak to everything, that will have to be investigated. Because I know when it comes to social development, and to speak under correction here, I think it's 12 million or 14 million that is on social grant. Now it's 14 million, I think. When you compare it with the 49 million that we have in South Africa. And that is very high, because it means we're moving towards a welfare state. And government is being proactive now, because look at these laws in place. You take agriculture. You know, we were looking no longer at subsistence, but want to make women economically viable. You look at economics, even social development, because I serve in that committee, and you can hear when the minister comes back. Government doesn't want to discuss grants any longer. So we're looking at projects, but projects that's not for subsistence, but for economic economic empowerment. Women must be economically viable. And then what is important, I don't know, because okay, this is new to us, my last thing. The way I understand it, when it comes to ratification of protocols, it has to come to Parliament. We have to take it through the National Assembly. You know, once it's ratified, we have to take it through the National Assembly. And I think we as Parliament and parliamentarians have to give the approval. Thank you. That's all. I'm trying.
Thank you, Comrade Malchus.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Chair, I'm in a dilemma. First of all, I need to say, on the first presentation of CEDAW, there is one last page that talks about gender-based violence that is not in my copy. I don't know if members also recognize that. Also, to say the dilemma I'm presenting here is the fact that we need to talk to the documents that are presented to us. But the people that are of us, the people that should be answering the questions that we have, are not here. And I feel that when we talk to Mekutswane about some issues, for an example, if I may say, why did South Africa delay in writing reports? When they are told that after a report has been looked into, you skip just a year and then
you present, they don't do so. When they're given 4 years in between to present reports, they take 11 years. I mean, those are very open errors that the people that were given the duty to do this report should be here and be answering to this committee why they failed to do what was expected of them. So if we've got to deliberate on these things and then we're facing our questions to the commission here, that's irrelevant because they are only coming to say to us, look, here are your problems and then how can we correct them, you and us. Now, I don't think this forum is relevant to sit in this limited period of time and try and do the corrections. And I agree with the way forward that the lady has given Mema Kutswane to say there's going to be time when the ministry and the people that would be representing us there would be sitting down to revisit them. And I feel we could have time and chance as well to make an input at such a time. The issues that Mema has been working on, really when we discuss them here, it would be taking our time for nothing. They have to be done thoroughly somewhere, given enough time to do so. Chet, I don't think I can go further. That is the concern that I would like to lay on the table in order to look for the way forward and the input of the committee. You know, we have had this problem of saying there is OFW, there is Gender Commission, the Women's Caucus, and then the Department of Social Development, and they are all dealing with women issues. And these are the ministry, the new one of the portfolio committee that we are in. And as a result, there's always been this challenge of who is who. And thank you, Chair.
The point of order is I spoke to the report they gave. I didn't speak to the report of the department because there were shortcomings here, and I just raised certain shortcomings. Because, again, I said it is very good because it's difficult. And I just raised the shortcomings that they can put in because we know we have to still read through this report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I was glad of the new energy that is being displayed by the CGE because for too long it has not had this oversight role. And you have levelled a lot of criticisms, which I also value, because I think we're aware that we have reached the stage where we've got to be honest and we've got to evaluate what is being done and what is not being done. So when we go over to the UN or whoever does go, we must also make sure that we are not just going to be glossing over it. I think we've got to be prepared to say we have made mistakes, but that we are changing and turning over a new leaf. We can't just say we're going to help government to put their foot around and create a good impression. So perhaps that's not what you meant, but certainly we need to be well armed with facts, with information, so that we can answer and show that we are into a new dispensation now, where we are going to change things. But at the same time, I would just like to say you have been critical, which I'm glad about, because we need to think and use our brains. How has the CGE actually complied with all the challenges it faced when delivering on its mandate for the past couple of years? I think we've got to look at that as well. We can't just point fingers. You've got to look at yourselves and say, what went wrong? How are we going to improve on it? So where have you complied? And if you didn't, why not? And what is the plan for the future so that we can ensure compliance, so that the CGE can gain respectability again? Because I'm afraid, I think within the face of the public and the civil rights organizations and so on, we must say there has been a lapse. Okay. Then I just also, just two other shorter points, just to say, the FCS unit was mentioned that, you know, at least they're starting again in June. I was given the date August. And yet, when I was at a court the other day, I was involved again with all the rape and the assault and people just being given bail willy-nilly, never mind that they're serial offenders. I then asked, and what about the FCS unit that's supposed to have been transferred and put here? Oh, no, it's still coming. So I think these are things we need to follow up on as well. It mustn't just be promises. We've got to see action at all levels. And then you mentioned a very good point, I thought, about creating the dependency. We've got to stop that, yes. But now, what are your suggestions for an exit strategy? You say we must have it. I know it's not yours alone to answer. It's part of, you know, everybody. But I think these are things that we as a committee need to look to.
Sorry, Member Robinson, what is FCS?
The FCS is the Family, Child and Sexual Offences Unit. Remember, those were specialized units that were cancelled or disbanded, and now, you know, the folly of the ways was recognized, and they now get to be put in place again. But again, when? Nini?
Thank you, Member Taki.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to say thank you to the CGE for making it their business to look at government's report and to inform us of what they see as achievements and as further challenges. I think I want to agree with the former speaker member, yes, that I really think that we need to get the attention of the department and the ministry and government to be here in these meetings. Because it was said by advocate, I hope I'm going to pronounce the surname correct, Kutswani, of advocate Kutswani, that the report is already sent to the UN. Now, I would like to know what is the process before it's been sent to and who compiled this report? Because as I understand it, the last report was compiled by the OSW in 1998. Now, it is now 2010. The report has now been sent to the UN and this committee didn't see it. Was it supposed to be dealt with in Parliament or come before Parliament? What is the process there? Because these are the things that I would like to know, Acting Chairperson. I understand CGE, but and they most probably not going to be able to answer me, or maybe they do know the process. And that is why I agree with my colleague, saying that we have to have the relevant people here, who in the first place drawn up the report that is in the eyes of the CGE, not full of mistakes and full of things that shouldn't have been there. Now we want to go in, and I quite see why the CGE want to have a mock trial, maybe for future, to prevent future mistakes. But the main thing is, Acting Chairperson, this report is with the UN. It's there. But we haven't seen it. And I would like to speak to that document rather than to, at this point in time, further deal with the achievements and the challenges that, with all respect, that has been highlighted by the CGE. And then lastly, I want to say to the CGE, having gone to the lengths that you've gone to now is proof of the fact that you see the seriousness of what you are supposed to do. And I hope that you also recognize why we as a committee were very angry. In fact, very angry, very disappointed that the CGE for 2 years, with another year of a disclaimer of opinion from the Auditor General, that in actual fact happened, because you could have also seen that that everything that you mentioned here was in the report that is now with the UN. You could have been the preventative instrument to see that a proper report goes through to the UN. But the fact that you have gone through the list, I do appreciate that. Thank you, Chair.
Before I hand over to the CGE, we have exhausted the hands that were up. Okay, I will give over to Advocate then and her team.
maybe to help us to respond. But I just also want to emphasize and also to acknowledge the fact that you also mentioned it in your report, that I think this committee is going to be taken on board during these processes and also be part of the delegation. And, you know, not happen like before where you get an, 11th, you know, at the 11th hour, you are just being told. And I think Member Duncan is also correct to say that, you know, what processes were followed for the report to, because the report is going to be talking about us and we're not part of it. So it would be really interesting to hear as to how, what process was being followed. We are also appreciative of the fact that, you know, you have mentioned a lot of flaws, you know, during the time of CSW, JMSC, you know, whereby, you know, people did not comply. And I think there is a question that says, what is it that you are going to be putting in place also from your side to ensure that we don't encounter the same mistakes. Over to you, Advocate.
I'm going to thank you very much, Madam Chair and the committee members, for your comments. I think most of them were comments. We'll try to respond to some of the questions that you have been posed. Some we don't have responses to. I'm not so sure I understand the process that government are supposed to follow in terms of presenting this report, but I know they have a duty to get Parliament to also have a look. This is the report I'm referring to. This is our government report. So, yeah. But even before I can start to respond to some of these issues, I want to suggest to this committee that I think it will make a lot of, it will help, it will be very helpful for the committee itself to go through these instruments, to understand, so that by the time you ask questions about this instrument, at least you have that kind of background of what you should expect to get. So for me, that should be one of the key things that the committee should consider, getting some kind of, you know, going through processes of understanding the instruments themselves, because you deal with them on a daily basis. There was a question that I'm going to request the acting chairperson to respond to with regard to CGE's compliance. But part of it, I'll just respond in terms of compliance, in terms of international instruments. It's unfortunate, the CGE never did that before, but I think we have decided now to make it our responsibility to make sure that we also comply in terms of reporting to Parliament on how these instruments are being implemented in South Africa. Like I said at the beginning, the report that I've given you, or we've just given you now, the CGE, these are just summaries of the bigger. We're working on a baseline kind of information process where we're looking at each of these instruments and compiling bigger reports. The CEDO one will be ready January next year. We're going to share that with you. This is just a summary, and this is meant for the UN specifically, but as to how South Africa implements CEDO, we are going to share that report with you. The Beijing one as well, we are going to share it with you. Well, at this stage, we have different projects that we have started at the CGE. Another project that we're working on is looking at the MDGs. This is the year when the UN is going to look at, you know, its 10-year anniversary of the MDGs, and the CGE has been given a specific mandate to look at gender equality. So of the 8 goals that you have, you at CGE are looking at how to apply goal 3, which is about gender equality, in goal 1, 2, and the rest. So we're compiling that information as well for ourselves, and we'll share that with you. It's quite a lot of instruments, and the significance of going through the instruments is, you know, when you design programs, as a CGE, we have the role of monitoring, and you can only monitor when you are aware of what commitments have been taken. So we're looking at all the commitments that our government has taken and has made, and we're monitoring them, you know, we're using that those commitments to check as to whether they're implementing their commitments correctly. So it's very, very critical for us to understand these international instruments, because they inform our programs. they inform the kind of work that we do, which is basically part of it being monitoring and evaluation of what government is doing. So we are really committed to that. We have started that process. We have done some kind of training for our staff members. We are still busy on it, but we already they have produced this report, as you can see. So we are definitely going to be reporting regularly on these issues. But I would like the acting chairperson to add on in terms of compliance.
Thanks, Commissioner Kutswana. I think you've said it all, but I think what the first report that was drafted when we were sent in the UN in 1998, it was 1 year old. So it was just being established, and I don't think we're not there, but I don't think it was going to be able to actually write a report up. But what is also critical, I think I had members raising the issue of saying they cannot, we cannot discuss some of these issues. And I think why we exist as CG, I think Honorable Duncan has mentioned it, is that we need to actually make Parliament aware of some of these issues. And we've realized that we need to play that critical role in terms of CG Act and make sure that all the sections that are actually in the CG Act, we actually leave them and we use them. And we use all the powers that we have so that government could be actually held accountable. Yeah, I think on compliance, and I think Commissioner Kutan has actually covered me on that, and there's also another report that we're preparing at CGE. The Special Rapporteur on Gender-Based Violence visited South Africa in 1996, and the Special Rapporteur made recommendations as well, and the CGE were looking at those recommendations and actually revisiting whether the government has actually tried to actually implement those recommendations. In terms of really compliance, we are really trying our best to actually comply. And these are very big projects, and we've seen that if we outsource them, we really can't do justice because we need most of our budget, but we've actually utilized our internal capacity to ensure that we deliver on the mandate. In terms of compliance, yes, we are being. And these are the first this year, in fact, we're actually beginning to look in some of these issues in terms of actually complying with international instruments. And we're still going to actually look at the instrument that we've actually rectified as a country within the AU and see which ones can we actually look into and actually report on so that we can actually make the government aware of some of this. And, for example, we're actually engaging our parliament is also going to engage at the Department of Cooperative Governance that so that they can actually, all those representations could actually be listed and actually asking the parliament to actually assist with those. So I think in terms of compliance, we have not been complying in the past, but we're beginning to actually comply in terms of international instruments. And that's why we're here and to actually report on that. That's why maybe even the committee was like hesitant to say, why are you coming to us for what, you know? And because we have not been reporting on some of these issues. And I think that's going to be a norm for us to actually come and report about this. So we'll be able to actually hold our government accountable. Thanks, Chair.
I think there's a member who asked about ratification and the role that is played by Parliament. And with international instruments, really, the process is like, you know, you first sign that document, and then after signing, the President will sign and then bring it to Parliament. And then they discuss, and the issue around ratification comes after that. And most of the time, Parliament is advised by their legal officers on these. But, you know, what we've also picked up is that you find some of the legal officers themselves not being, not understanding some of these international instruments. For instance, the one that I've talked about, the Protocol to the African Charter on Human and People's Rights, it was not necessary for South Africa to reserve those articles. When South Africa reserved, you know, the whole of Africa was not really, you know, happy with it because it sort of created some kind of a precedent. It has taken a number of countries to really ratify it, and we have, by ratifying with reservations, we are encouraging other countries to do the same. So that is why it is a concern for the CGE, really, to really look at the issue and see and understand it thoroughly, because there is an article in that document that says, if you have better laws, use your laws. So there was no need for us to really reserve. So the ratification process, in most cases, Parliament discusses, but in most cases, they also rely on what they, I mean, the advice they get from the legal officers. push in some cases. Because with this one specifically, I raised it at that time with some parliamentarians as to why they've done this, and they gave me the explanation. And I tipped it up with them and said, but can you reverse? Can you relook? So as CGE now, we are going into that and try to see how best you can really remove those reservations.
Okay, I think I've got a follow-up from Member Matladi. Did you also have a follow-up? Okay, it will be Member Matladi, yourself, and then Member Duncan.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm asking on the matter of procedure. As we are sitting here, are we supposed to have been given that report that we have as a committee that's relevant, that's playing oversight? Are we supposed to be having that report? If the answer is yes, when are we going to get it? And secondly, even the report, before it goes to the international world, should it come before this committee? Is that procedure that there must be presentation, the people who have written it should come here, present it before us, we critique it, and then they include our recommendations as amendments, and when it goes out, we own it and say, the mistakes that have been presented to us are our mistakes, then we can correct them. That is the matter of procedure I would like to find out. And if I'm correct in what I'm thinking, why didn't it happen that way? That's the question that I'm asking, but I know maybe it's not relevant to you. Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Chair Ferguson. It's something new, because until we had the way forward, but will be something new. So I'll first wait for us to complete this discussion, then I'll ask my question.
I want to say the same. I think I've said, my colleague has actually repeated what I said more or less, and she just put it better than me. So I think let's first get that out of the way, that we know where we stand. Please, thanks. Then I'll ask the question.
Okay. The issue around the procedure, let me try to explain one or two things. This report was written in 2008. It was taken to cabinet, and I'm not so sure about parliament as well, in 2008. So when the new ministry came in, this report was out already. But I would have expected that they should have taken the committee on, you know, because they are reporting next year. Even though they did not write this report themselves, they're going to present it to the UN. They've already signed it, and they're going to take responsibility of this. Maybe what we should be saying now is, how can we get the department to come and discuss this? Go through it with them together. But again, for me, really, as part of the commission from our side, the engagement on that, the whole process around the mock trial. We're not just looking about, I'm talking about that activity. There will be a process leading to that activity. Maybe in the meantime, during that process of trying to understand everything about this report, maybe let's look at how we can engage with Parliament, with the Ministry about the report. So if you can, I'm just suggesting that maybe during the process leading to the mock trial, let's get the department to explain this, because partly they're not responsible for this because they were not there, the current people in the office. Some of them were there, though. But I think they should have taken it, you know, brought it back to you, because this they own now. So maybe that is the reason why you're not aware of it. But let's look at how we can get the ministry to come and discuss it with the committee now, so that at least from there we take it forward to the mock trial. And from the CGE side, we really plead with this committee to really help us get that mock trial, because the idea is to build the capacity of the team that is going to represent our country next year. So if we can just work together on that one, so that at least we get it. Like I said, UNIFEM is supporting it. And it's not just about us. We have to involve people, some experts from outside. So we're talking to those experts. They are buying into this idea. So it would be nice to work with you on this, so that at least you can assist our government to go and represent as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to shed some light on whether there was participation and involvement from Parliament side. In 2008, the OSW did come to present the report, but they only came to present. They didn't allow for engagement and for recommendations from the committee for the JMC to be included in that report. So they went away from there, and then in their final report commented that they had engaged with Parliament, when actually they only did a presentation. After that, at Women's Parliament, the Speaker also called for them to come and present the final report to Parliament before it was sent to the UN. Whether that happened, nobody knows. As far as I know, it did not happen. The problem now is that it's been sent off, which means it has been signed by Cabinet and it's been endorsed. So there's nothing that we can do about what's in the report now. I think we have to rely on highlighting these challenges and the problems around the report and bringing those up. But and I also know that the OSW used an external consultant to write that report for them. So in terms of engagement, there was really not enough engagement from or with Parliament or with any committee around the CEDA report.
Just to find out, in terms of this mock, you said it was mock trial. Who will fund it?
It's going to be facilitated by the CGE. We have the backup of UNIFEM. So they've asked us to bring to write a proposal to them so that they can look at the expenses, but they are prepared to fund those expenses.
Can we then take the last round of hands? Because I know that there's a lot to discuss in the presentation, but we can't, conclude it today. Because this is the beginning of its kind. I mean, the first time of its kind that this committee is engaging. So can we then take the last round of hands? Can I see the hands? It's only two. Okay.
Thanks a lot, Chairperson. I still got that last thing that I'd like to discuss. Not discuss, just speak to, because of something, a request that we're going to make. But I think with the way the CGE is explaining to us, it will be important for us to look at those challenges. Because if we receive the documents, I just scanned through them, and I think it will be important to read those articles you gave us too. And then I'm in agreement that we need to have the department here to speak to us, you know, from their side on their document. And I'm in agreement, too, to have the mock trial and even taking experts when it comes, you know, like going, yeah, the delegation, going to the conference or whatever person call it next year. Thank you. But I'm not going to ask that question now. I'm waiting until we complete this. Thank you. Now, look, there's a question, too, that I would like to ask. Can I ask it now? Fine, because it is to do with women. Yesterday, the chairperson of the committee spoke to me about many problems that widows are having. And it do come up. So I told her that I was at the hearing on widowhood of the CGE. And what I would like to do is to request the document that each one, because there's a book, that each one gets this document, that you can read through it and then discuss it at a later date. Because I think they did it, the hearings were done in 2008, 2007, because I went to the hearings in the Eastern Cape. Thank you. That was my request. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to be clear on the delegation going to represent South Africa next year. Is next year that you refer to? And is it on the 2008 report? If I can just get that answer, and then I will put my last. Thanks, Chair.
I
I'm not with you. You put the last one.
Okay. Because I just wanted that out of the way. I just want to make a recommendation to the CGE, especially since we are looking at this mock trial. Sorry for the mistake there. What I think the CGE should concentrate on, we do have in this country very good, excellent legislation. The problem, however, of most of them is the implementation of it. But is there not also the implementation of it? Because wanting to implement, you need resources. You need financial resources, you need human resources. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I would want the CGE to look at all legislation relevant to women and then make sure whether these legislation, whether it is costed, and not only costed, whether it is financed. Because there's a vast difference. A lot of people think when governments say that, yes, like the Children's Act, for instance, it's costed. Oh, okay, cost, it relates to money. It doesn't mean that it is financed. Because right through these reports, you refer to the challenges, you know, and it comes down to not properly implemented, and there's not really given effect. And then the second thing to that, I hope I made it clear. The second point that I want to make is also make sure that the CGE need to hold government accountable, parliament accountable. Another way of doing it is to make sure, like I've asked previously in this meeting and never got the reports yet from the five departments, I'm also asking the CGE to make it your business to ensure that women's issues are actually reflected in the budgets of the 37 departments nationally, at least. Later on, maybe you can look at the provinces and breaking it down. But these are just a few suggestions that you can also look at things.
Thank you, ma'am. The issue around the delegation next year, I think the ministry is responsible for putting the delegation together, but I think they have to consult with the committee. But what you should make sure that, you know, happens is that they get the right people. Like I said, with the CEDAW process, it's not like CSW. He's not going to go there and make a statement and leave. They're going to be interrogated, in effect. That this report, we're going to New York in 2 weeks' time to go and sit with the committee, take them through our own report and the government report as well, explain some of the things there, and assist them to develop questions for our own government. And those questions are going to be sent to government by the end of September. Maybe as the first thing that you should be looking at is, you should look at how government is going to respond to the first set of questions, which is going to be sent to them in September. So they're going to be sent the first set of questions in September, and then they're given something like a month to respond to those questions. And then when they go back again in January, there will be a full committee sitting there, and as each one of those will be asking a question from their own background. There's different people coming from different backgrounds. Each one will be asking specific questions. That's why it is very important for a government to have the relevant people forming that delegation, because you want people who are going to be, you know, giving responses that are needed. So just getting officials from the ministry is not going to be very helpful. So maybe one of the things that you should look at is assist this department to make sure that they get a delegation that is going to really be helpful to the minister as well, when she presents. So there's a mock trial that you're talking about here. If it happens around October, by that time, we want to believe that the delegation shall have been identified already, so that everybody is taken through the process and they know exactly what to look forward to. And we are putting October because we think by that time the first set of questions shall have been responded to, and everybody will know exactly what to look forward to. But it's very, very important to get the delegation. It's the right people to be on the delegation for government. Because what happens there is they're going to be asked questions. They're going to be given something like a day or two to go and look at those questions if they cannot respond immediately. But they must respond. So the committee always gives them some extra day or so so they can go back. If they need to consult back home, they will definitely have to do that. So it's always best if you have your team that is going to help you in those kind of meetings. Because it's very, very, it's not like the CSW. It's not a nice place to be if you're not prepared. But if you've prepared yourself, it's just going to be a very nice experience for everybody. So that meeting is very important. I mean, the trial. We're not so sure whether the government is going to agree. That's why we need your assistance as well, because we just want to help. We just want to make sure that everybody understands. And the other thing that you were talking about with UNIFEM is that it would be nice to also record, to document that, so that in future, when other groups go, then they can always reflect, look at how to go around doing it, so that you don't have the same problem, you know, every time.
No, thanks. I think we are really going to help you. Don't worry the committee, because we want to see things being done differently by this new committee. I think I saw your hand, Chair.
No, I just wanted to say, perhaps then it was an omission from our side not to invite the department. They should have been part of this meeting. They would have got a better understanding of what we are saying.
Okay, thank you, Chair. And let me thank the CGE, you know, for this valuable information that you have given us. And I hope that, you know, you have noted all our comments and concerns. And I think from here, members who I'm sure might want to send, you know, more clarity questions to you concerning this, because we are getting this report for the first time. And we hope that, you know, from now henceforth, we will then work together. And we also want to thank you, you know, for having alerted us about these, you know, the importance of the delegation that is going to be going to that conference with regards to the handling of questions. We want to thank you for alerting us for that, so that we make sure that those who go there are well prepared. And also, we will ensure that this mock trial also happens. Without much ado, let me again thank you until we meet again. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't know whether the chairperson wanted to say something. Did you want to say something? Okay. Thank you.
Except to say viva CGE, viva.
Is he the acting head of the department? Victor?
My Vidula.
Is that gentleman?
No.
Okay, sure. But can you just tell me who he is, the gentleman that spoke? Is he the director now?
No. Who is this one?
Thank you. Yes. Acting chief person. Okay, is this one?
Yes.
Okay.
True.
Shruti. Okay. It's fabulous. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you.
I'll put it down. I thought there were some other items. Okay. Yes, it's a long day. It was so hot today. Down. Yes.
Thank you.